Well, Harsh, today I'm going to take you into the message I taught this past Sunday at our fellowship here in Jacksonville. Why don't you get your Bible, open them to Philippians chapter 2, and come along with us as we enter into this message entitled, Child of God, Work It Out. Work It Out. Be blessed as you listen. Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you would please, to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 12 through whatever. I've got through 24, but I don't know if we'll make it. Entitled this, Child of God, Work It Out. Work It Out. For those of us who have been born again, we are to work out what He has worked in. Day by day, moment by moment, we're to work out what He has worked in. Salvation is an event. Once in a lifetime event. Salvation is an event. Once saved, it cannot be lost. Once you have been born again, you cannot become unborn. Once you're born again, you're born again. But once you're born again, then begins the process of sanctification. And it is a process. Now, understand this. As a lifelong process, when you are born again, you are sanctified in that you are set apart for God. But then comes the process of becoming continually more like Christ Jesus. It's a lifelong process. Now, the minute you received Christ, had your heart quit beating within one split second after you received Christ, you would have went to glory.
Amen.
You would have gone to glory. But inasmuch as your heart did not quit beating one split second after you received Christ, you have a lifetime of increasingly becoming increasingly more like Christ, which means you get up every morning of the world and you die to self and you present yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. And death to self does not come easy for some.
No,
self-denial. Do things my way. What I want to do, when I want to do it, the way I want to do it. But self-denial. Death to self. It's a lifelong process of becoming increasingly more Christ-like. Hear me carefully. In all that we are, in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we are a part of. With your last heartbeat, as one born again, with your last heartbeat, you'll be in glory.
Amen.
So what you're going to get done for the kingdom of God, you got to get done this side of your last heartbeat.
Amen.
It's a moment by moment, day by day process. Once you realize all that Christ purchased for you on that cross, once you realize all that He accomplished for you on that cross, in His death, His burial, His resurrection, once you really grasp that, it changed you.
Amen.
It will change your life. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How's it done? If I were to ask you, how do you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, how would you answer me? How is it done? How does one work out their own salvation? The Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a lifelong process of developing that which God has worked in you. Hear me. It's a matter of dying to self. Every morning of the world, you get up and you die to self. Amen. And then it's a matter of working out, developing that which God has worked in you, which requires spiritual sensitivity, which requires moment by moment spiritual sensitivity to work out what He has worked in. How's it done? Submission. Submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the life. That doesn't come easy. Submission. Submit, submit, submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Submit to the Word of God. Submission. And then once you've submitted, it's a matter of obedience. Obedience to the known will of God. And every person under the sound of my voice knows more about what the Word of God says than we are in submission to what the Word of God says. So much of the church knows so much of the Word of God in some respects, understands so much, but yet it's not in submission to it. How's it done? It requires sensitivity. It requires sensitivity to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That little check in the Spirit, that little quickening in the Spirit. You've got to be sensitive, which means that every day of the world, you need to be praying, Heavenly Father, today, Holy Spirit, help me be sensitive to your promptings, to that check in the Spirit. Help me to be sensitive to what you would have me to do, not to do. What you would have me to say, what you would have me not to say. What you would have me to watch on TV, what you would not have me to watch on TV. What you would have me to be a part of or not a part of. Word Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Once again, those born again are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You as a person who's been born again, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that's not to be underestimated. And I think too many times it is not that well understood. I'm convinced, based on what I see in the world today and what I see the church a part of and not a part of, I'm convinced that that is a spiritual truth that is not really all that well understood. Amen. That each of us who've been born again are indwelt by the creative power of this universe. God is holy, and we're indwelt by His Holy Spirit. That is not to be underestimated. It is He who illumines the understanding. In the natural, you'll never understand the Scriptures. In the natural, you'll never understand the mind of God. In the natural, you'll never understand the will of God or the heart of God. Only as you're illumined by the Holy Spirit, can you understand? It is He who He's the one who has to create the understanding. He has to give us the understanding. He is the one who has to illumine our understanding in order to comprehend what the Word of God is saying.
Amen.
I mean, the simplest verses. The simplest verses in the Scripture. We need the Holy Spirit to illumine our understanding in order to grasp the significance and the depth of what the Word of God says. How many of us pause to think about that? It is the Holy Spirit who enables and empowers. You cannot live the Christian life on your own.
No.
You can't make it in your own strength. You can't do it.
No, sir.
You have got to have the enablement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God, not to respond improperly, not to react improperly, to submit, to surrender, to obey. And folks, this is a everyday moment of your life. Every moment of your life. Because your mind is continually processing. And your mind is continually receiving thought patterns and thoughts. And you have to continually decide, do I keep that thought or do I ignore that thought? Do I reject that thought? Do I possess that thought? The walk with Christ is so much more than most of the church has ever really embraced and realized. Do you understand that we are to, moment by moment, day by day, become increasingly more Christ-like in everything we are, in everything we say, everything we do, everything we're part of, everything in our life? He tells us what to do. And if you're willing to do what he tells you to do, he'll empower you.
Hello.
Don't let that escape you. If you are willing to do what he tells you to do, he will empower you to do what he tells you to do. Understand this. Holy Spirit never screams.
No.
Holy Spirit never shouts. Just a still, small, quiet voice. Don't do that. Don't read that. Don't say that. But if you're not sensitive to what the Spirit is saying, do or don't do, you won't be in compliance.
No.
You won't be in obedience. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Anything he tells us to do, we should do it. Anything he tells us not to do, we shouldn't do it.
Nope. Amen.
He will empower you to do whatever he tells you to do if you're willing to do what he tells you to do. Don't let that escape you. He will empower you. The Spirit of God will empower you to do whatever he tells you to do if you are willing to do it. He won't force you. He will not force you. But if you're willing, he will empower you. He will enable you. He will enable you and empower you not to do that which you're not to do if you're willing not to do it. And we have some restrictions. If I'm going to be Christ-like, there's things I can't watch on TV.
Hello.
If I'm going to be Christ-like, there's some conversations I can't be a part of. If I'm going to be Christ-like, there's literature I can't read. If I'm going to be Christ-like, there's things in life I cannot put my stamp of approval on, nor can I be a part of it.
Amen.
I can't be involved in it. Holy, be thou holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. You are being prepared for eternity. And one split second after your last heartbeat, you will be in eternity. And having arrived in eternity, you will become a part of God's ongoing, everlasting, eternal plan. You'll be operative in that plan, in the new heavens and the new earth. You must understand who you are as one who's been born again. Believer priest, child of God, ambassador for God, a soldier of the cross. Endure hardness as a good soldier, the Word of God says. And there's a lot of hardness to be endured. There's a lot of hardness to be endured. But we're to endure hardness as a good soldier. Word of God says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, anything he tells us not to do, he will empower us not to do that.
Amen.
Hear me carefully. Anything he tells you to do, he will empower you to do that. He will enable you to do that. I don't care what it is. It's in the Word. He tells you to do it. He will enable you and empower you to do it. It's in the Word. He tells you don't do it. He will enable you and empower you not to do it. You do not have to do that. Everything that's prompted to your spirit and your mind by the enemy.
Amen.
Too many times we don't even question. We just react and respond and embrace. But I can do all things. All things? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can resist. I can submit. I can surrender. I can obey. I can be Christ-like in this situation. I can respond in a Christ-like way to this circumstance. I can avoid that thought. I can reject that thought. I don't have to respond. I don't have to react as Satan wants me to respond and react. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said that. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul said that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Paul, as he was empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit, says, I can do all things. He had some experience. Paul had some experience in doing all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You understand that you are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God as one who's born again?
Yes, sir.
We get up every morning and say, okay, I'm a child of God. I've been adopted into the family of God. I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. My past is forgotten. Well, where does it go from there? He will enable you and empower you to be the salt he wants you to be, the preservative in the society. And the church is failing. The church is failing as salt in the society, as a preservative in the society, based on what I see in the society day after day.
Amen.
The church is failing. Those of us who are born again, I wish we could really grasp this. I'm fixed to make a statement I really wish we could grasp, starting with me. As one born again, I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, as are you. Which means you're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. You're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. As a believer, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And He will enable you and empower you to do anything He asks you to do or tells you to do. And He will enable you and empower you to resist anything and everything that He tells you not to do. You just got to be willing to be enabled and empowered.
Amen.
Am I truly, really willing to be enabled and empowered? Because if I am enabled and empowered, there are going to be times that I'm going to be swimming upstream, going against the current and the flow. Even in the family, in the workplace, wherever you may be, there's going to be times you are going against the flow as you're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you see, inasmuch as I am enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, because I am enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Word of God tells us, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Do not suppress the Holy Spirit. Do not suppress His promptings. Let's understand what this means. The Word of God says don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't suppress that prompting He's trying to invoke to you. Receive the prompting. Embrace the prompting. Obey the prompting. But don't suppress it. But you see, to do this, this requires spiritual sensitivity. And I'm saying to you that a great deal of the church, or what's called the church, is not really spiritually sensitive. Why do I say that? Because we're involved in so much that the Holy Spirit would not have them involved in. Everything from what they're watching on TV. to what they read, to the conversation they're involved in. The body of Christ. And that's why we are where we are. That's why we are where we are as a nation. We need the people of God to be spirit sensitive so that they obey with the slightest breath. How many times have I demonstrated that by taking my handkerchief and just holding it up in just a little? Because that's how the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. He's not going to grab you and shake you. He's going to. You have to be sensitive to that and respond to that. And to do that requires spiritual sensitivity. How do you develop spiritual sensitivity? How do you do that? You spend time in the Word, getting to know the mind of God and the heart of God. Then you spend time with Him, listening to Him, sharing your heart with Him, letting Him share His heart with you. You see, through the process of sanctification, because you start out as a babe in Christ, you start out as an infant in Christ, you do not come to spiritual maturity overnight. It's a process, it's a lifelong process, and He starts you out as an infant. And there's just that little of the spirit against your spirit, and a little word here and a word there. And then you have to recognize the voice. That's from my Father. That impulse is from my Father. That impression is from my Father. That check in my spirit is from my Father. And now that I recognize the voice of my Father, because you've got people sitting in church that really don't understand the Word of God. They really have not embraced the Word of God. They have not considered the Word of God in its entirety. They think, well, if I don't cuss and smoke, I'll be okay. That's not it. It's so much more than that. When to speak, when not to speak. There's so much involved in it. So you have to understand, now Ephesians 4:10. Now we just saw that we're not to quench the Spirit, but Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Hear me. If you're born again this morning, you're sitting in here and you're born again. You've been adopted into the family of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're indwelt by the creative power of this universe. You are sealed by the Spirit of God. And once again, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. You can't break the seal.
No, sir.
All hell can't break the seal.
No.
There's not a demon out of hell that can break the seal.
No,
when you were born again, you were born again. When you were born humanly, you cannot become unborn.
No.
You were born. You existed. When you're born again spiritually, you cannot become unborn spiritually. You are born again. Contrary to what so many different religious expressions teach.
Hello.
But it's a matter of control. They're trying to control the people. They're trying to control their congregation to make sure that they always obey and comply with what they're telling them. Through disobedience, we grieve the Spirit of God through rebellion. We grieve the Spirit of God through disobedience. The Word of God says, grieve not. Don't grieve Him. You see, when you grieve the Holy Spirit, He's sensitive. The Holy Spirit is so sensitive. And He speaks so quietly. I'm telling you, you've got multitudes sitting in front of a TV set, and they do not have the sensitivity in their Holy Spirit to understand the Holy Spirit is saying, don't watch that. That's not best for you. Don't read that. That's not best for you. Don't be a part of that. That's not best for you. Don't be a part of that conversation. Don't be a part of this. Don't be a part of that. But we grieve the Holy Spirit by not complying. But not listening. It requires spiritual sensitivity. It requires spiritual sensitivity to comply with the Holy Spirit through His promptings. We grieve the Holy Spirit through rebellion, through disobedience. But then stop and ask yourself this. How many times a day do I quench the Holy Spirit? How many times a day do I grieve the Holy Spirit? So how many times a day am I doing that which robs me of enablement and empowerment by the Holy Spirit? You see, you can quench or grieve the Holy Spirit of God back into a corner of your life, and he doesn't come out in his manifestation. He didn't come out in his spiritual sensitivity. He didn't come out in his fullness. And we're to be filled with the Spirit. One way or another, we do that. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, it's sin to quench the Holy Spirit. It's sin to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And now how many times a day, stop and think, how many times a day do I quench the Holy Spirit? How many times a day do I grieve the Holy Spirit? When I quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit, I'm robbing myself of spiritual power.
Amen.
I need prayer power.
Yes, sir.
I need prayer power. You need prayer power. And when I'm quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit, I am robbing myself of prayer power. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's understandable, isn't it? That's very plain. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity, if I know that I have a sinful action in my life, if I know I have a sinful attitude, if I know that I have a sinful reaction or a sinful response, the Word of God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that means I know it's there, but I'm not dealing with it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I've got people sitting in front of me right now. You've got some prayers you desperately need heard. And I'm not talking about just physical healing or emotional healing. I'm talking about loved ones. I'm talking about decisions that have to be made. I'm talking about the everyday decisions of life that many in here this morning you're dealing with. And you need sensitivity.
Yes.
And when you're quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit of God, me, you, any of us, we lose that sensitivity. I have oftentimes demonstrated this by taking a handkerchief and holding it up and just blowing gently against it. That's the way the Holy Spirit deals with me. That's the way he deals with you. The question is, am I spirit sensitive enough to understand when I get that little touch of the breath of the Spirit against my spirit? Obey God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. How much complaining do you do? Word of God says, I didn't write it, I'm just teaching it. Word of God says, do all things without complaining and disputing. In other words, obey God. Obey God. End of conversation. Obey God without moaning and groaning. Obey God without complaining. Obey God without disputing with God. Just obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Word of God says. He said, I'd rather have your obedience than your sacrifice. So all I've got to do is get up every morning in the world and say, okay, Father God, I've decided I'm going to obey you today. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to obey you. Whatever you tell me not to do, I'm going to obey. But I'm going to obey you. He said, I'd rather have your obedience than your sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey God once again. No moaning, no groaning, no complaining. Just obey God. Philippians 2:15. Why do you do that? That. Now remember, Paul is writing the first church he ever planted. Philippians, first church he ever planted. This is 14 years after he planted that church. He is in prison in Rome. For all he knows, he's going to be beheaded in Rome. He doesn't know. But he's writing this church and other churches, but he's writing the very first church he ever planted. Look at verse 15. That you may become, I outlined that word become, that you may become. You see, you're in the process of becoming increasingly more Christ-like if you are in submission and surrendering to the will of the Father in your life. He says, that you may. In other words, do what I'm telling you to do so that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'll promise you this, it was no more crooked nor perverse then than it is now. I'll promise you, it was no more perverse or crooked in Paul's day than it is in our day. Become blameless? We're to become blameless in the society in which we live. Become blameless? How do you become blameless? If you're going to piece of paper and write down, okay, here's how I become blameless, what would you write down? Think about it. The Word of God says, become blameless. In the process of becoming blameless, you are to be coming increasingly more Christ-like, which requires increasingly more death to self, which means the big I has to come off the throne of your life, which means that Christ Jesus has to be enthroned on the throne of your life, becoming increasingly, day by day, moment by moment, dying to self. Oh, that's hard. There's too many things I want to react to. I have found in recent years, it took me quite a while to get here, but I have found sometimes the smartest thing I can do is shut up. Don't speak to the issue. Don't speak to the issue. Just shut up. If I'm going to say anything about it, say it to the Lord. If it's something that's ungodly, unholy, I'm not to be a part of it. So you just have to become increasingly more Christ-like. Then it says, blameless and harmless. How do you become blameless and harmless? If I were to ask you, how do you do this? You become blameless. Blameless and harmless. You know what it means? Give no grounds for criticism. Don't give any grounds for criticism. Become blameless and harmless. In other words, don't give the other person any reason to blame you for anything. And become harmless in the office, in the neighborhood, in the community, in the store where you shop, whatever it is. Become blameless. Give no grounds for criticism. Oh, you're supposed to be a Christian and you do that. You're supposed to be a Christian and you say that. You're supposed to be a Christian and that's your attitude. You're supposed to be a Christian and you embrace that thinking. He says, be blameless. How are we stacking up so far? He goes on, children of God, you're a child of God. As one born again, you've been adopted into the family of God. You're a child of God. You have access to the throne of God. You can go directly into the presence of God with anything and everything you want to talk to Him about. Children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And folks, make no mistake about it, you are surrounded by a crooked and perverse generation. You are every day of your life, you're surrounded by a crooked and perverse generation. And you, in the midst of all of that filth, corruption, ugliness, nasty, whatever it may be, you're to be salt. You're to be light. You're to touch that life, not let that life touch your life.
Amen.
Remain holy. You're surrounded by this every day. You got to keep that in mind. And you realize, hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. You may be the only light in that situation.
Amen.
You may be the only light in the mix, whatever the mix may be. Do you realize you walk into a shopping center, a store, an office, whatever. You may be the only light in there. So what should your reaction and response be like? Should your reaction and your response to whatever's going on be Christ-like? Yes. Because you are the only light in there. Now, wherever you go, you are to be light. And that light is to shine in the darkness. And you're surrounded. You will get out of bed in the morning, and before you walk out of your house, if you're not careful, darkness will try to creep in. Every day of the world. And once again, you may be the only light in the mix. You may be the only light in the office or in this gathering, this meeting. You may be the only light in there. Let it shine. Among whom, the Word of God says, he goes on, children of God, without fault, in other words, give no reason for them to blame you of anything. Don't give those who surround you any reason whatever to find fault with you. They're going to find it, but don't make it legitimate. They will find fault with you, but just don't make sure it's not a legitimate complaint they have.
Amen.
Among whom you shine as lights in the world, light and darkness. Wherever you go in this world, you're walking in the darkness. This is ugly. You can walk into darkness in many churches.
Hello.
You can walk into darkness in many churches. As I've told you before, Billy Graham said he, in his opinion, 85% of the church was not born again. Only 15%, Billy Graham said. 15% of the total church membership, in his opinion, were born again, based on what he saw going on in the nation and in the churches in the nation. Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now notice what he's saying here, holding fast the word of life. In other words, receive what you have heard.
Amen.
I could say that. Receive what you're hearing. Receive what you've heard from this pulpit.
Yes.
Receive what you've been taught. Embrace it. Embrace what you've been taught. Make it a part of your life. Receive it, embrace it. Believing, you have to receive and you have to believe. You may receive and not believe, but you're going to receive what you've heard, receive what you've been taught, believe what you've been taught, believe what you've heard. If it's the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, you can receive it and you can believe it. Paul is saying that so that I can rejoice and my time and efforts have not been wasted. That's basically what he's saying. Listen, every preacher hates to think that he has spent the hours in time and the hours in the Word and alone with God and spending time with God, sitting down, shutting up, being quiet, sensing the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, waiting on the Spirit. You don't want to think that time is wasted.
Amen.
If you're going to spend that kind of time, and what's true of me is true of you, you don't want the time that you spend alone with God to be wasted. You don't want the time that you spend in the Word to be wasted. You don't want the time that you spend in prayer, intercessory prayer, to be wasted. And that's what he is saying here. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I don't want what I've tried to accomplish to be for nothing. The foolishness of preaching is what the Word of God says. Calls preaching the foolishness of preaching. Those of us who do it, we recognize what it is. And that's how it's considered by a lot of people. You see, that has to be the heart, the desire of every man of God. That has to be the heart and desire of every man of God. Go back to it. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Time in prayer was not in vain. Time in waiting on the Lord was not in vain. Let me tell you how I do Bible study. I'm going to run this by you very quickly. I don't go to the commentaries first. I go to the Word. I want to know what the Spirit of God is saying to me. And I want to organize my thoughts and my understanding of it. And when I run across some very difficult passages, there are some that I trust. There's some that I trust. But I don't go there initially. You need to develop that practice. What is this saying to me? What is this scripture saying to me? What does this passage say to me? What does it mean to me? How does it correct me? And it's okay to make notes to yourself. I do. Make notes to yourself. This is what it says to me. This is what I need to embrace. Philippians 2:17. But once again, waiting in prayer before God. Prayer and waiting. Do you ever do that? You lay out your heart before the Lord and you intercede on for it and then you wait. What? You know, Bob, you don't understand. I got things I got to read. I got things I got to check. I got things I got to do. I got things I got to watch. I got to get busy, 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 busy. Satan wants to keep you busy. He wants to keep you so busy you don't have time to sit and just let the Holy Spirit of God minister to you, explain to you, make real to you. Philippians 2:17. And if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. Now notice that again. We're about to wrap this up. And if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. The drink offering was a ritual pouring out of wine or some other liquid in an offering to God. And he says, that's what I am. Can you say that? I'm being poured out to God. I'm a drink offering. I'm being poured out to God. The drink offering symbolizes a complete, total worship of God and complete, total dedication to God. How do you measure out as a drink offering? Being poured out? Is your life being poured out before God and on behalf of God? Sacrifice to God? Philippians 2:18. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Remember, he's in prison in Rome, possibly facing death, and writing them to encourage them. You see, his position was, death holds no leverage in my life. He knew he was facing death. He said, death holds no leverage in my life. I can embrace death without fear or regret. That's what the man is saying. I can embrace death without fear or without regret. How many of us today can say that? How many of us can say, I can embrace death without fear and without regret as I look back across my life? Last verse, Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. He hoped to send Timothy to examine them and encourage them. Paul is concerned about their spiritual welfare and their steadfastness. He wanted to know that his work had not been in vain. He wanted to know that what he had sown into them was being put into practice. They were living it day by day. Preaching is a strange business. Preachers are strange people.
Amen.
But preaching is a strange business. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to explain to people, this is what God said, and this is what God meant, and this is what God wants of you as an individual. And you have to understand every time you stand to preach that that is occurring in some lives and not occurring in other lives. Heavenly Father, Father God, I ask you to take the word this morning because it's a sincere word. It's a deep word, Father. And I haven't really done it justice in so many ways. But I'm going to ask you to take it, if you will, and use it to stir the hearts of your people to fervency and to faithfulness. That each of us will sit down and really, really, truly come to grips with our relationship with you, our intimacy with you, our communion with you, and then let us leave that place of communion and go out into a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world and be the salt and be the light that you have ordained us to be. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Quinn, come up here and close us with prayer. And when Quinn has said amen, you can bring your tithes and offering up and drop it in the plate and go home.
First of all, folks, I just want to say thank you for all the prayers for Kathy and I with her back surgery. I'm going to tell you, prayer sees you through. There's no more peace that you can have in these times when you're troubled that you know people are praying for you, sincere people, people that are close to God, that are living as best they can to be Christ-like, and the power of prayer works. Sometimes you question God, say, why are you putting me through all this? And you know that, right? A lot of us know that. But then you stop and think, what a peace I have. Take me home, Lord. I'm ready. You know, and then you just have to have faith in the prayers that everybody that touches you has been covered in prayer. And so you depend on the surgeons and the anesthesiologists and all them good people. And I had good people. But God arranged this thing. I could tell you story after story after story, some I can't even remember, that are blessings. I will say this, and then I'll pray. When you're deep down and you're worried, not about dying, but about leaving your loved ones, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, and you're really sick, and you look in the eyes of God, that's a tough call.
Yep.
That's a tough call. I looked in the eyes of God. And it wasn't a good look sometimes for me because everything was being brought back in my life that I had grieved God. Things I haven't even thought about to confess. But what a blessing it is when you put it all on the line and say, God, take it.
Yes.
God, forgive me. God, I didn't even know I did that. And there it is, just festering up all of it. What a blessing it's been for me. So I just want to say thank y'all for the prayers. Thank you for your concerns. A lot of text. Thank you for the support for Kathy. And I just want to tell you I love you in Christ. And I just appreciate this church. Father God, I just want to say thank you. I want to praise you, give you all the glory and honor, Father God, that we're in a church, a praying church, a Word of God church. Father, where nothing that's said here, Father God, goes against your will. That, Father, it is delivered in sincerity. Bob delivers a message that you give him. And, Father, it's up to us to do something with that message. Amen. Father, it's up to us to go back and research and understand, and not just to be taught, but to share, Father God, the message of Jesus Christ, Father God. The peace I had going through this, Father God, every person should have that peace, Father God.
Yes.
And the only way they're going to get that is through salvation. And the only way they're going to get through salvation is for us to be that messenger of God as you have commanded us to do. Father, this world is in total chaos.
Yep.
And Father, we see it, we hear it, And Father God, I'll be honest with you, it's a chaos, Father God, that's going to bring to light a lot of ugliness. And Father, that we've prayed that for years. Bring it to light, Father God. Father, develop it. Not to punish people, Father God, but to increase your kingdom. To show them the light of Jesus Christ. And as Bob says, Father, we should, and the Word says, Father God, we should do that and be the light. And Father, be blameless. Father, be harmless to people. Not judging, not criticizing, not complaining. And I'm the biggest, Father God. And Father, I just ask for forgiveness for all those days that I complained, Father God. But I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. Father, for leading this, the United States of America, Father. And I just pray, Father God, a revival for this country, Father God. It's going to go two ways. We're either going to let it slip, the church is going to let it slip, and we're going to be in a civil war, Father God. Or there's going to be a revival because people are going to stand up, start praying, repenting.
Yep.
And Father, and ask God for a revival and be sincere about it. So, Father God, I just pray for the revival. I pray that the light of Jesus Christ, the light of God, shine on this country for my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, Father God. Father, they may know America that I grew up in, where a man's word and his handshake was a man's word. And you walked away from it. You needed it, Peyton. You didn't need lawyers to explain it. You don't need all that, Father. You're just a man of God, and you're standing on principle. That's what I want for America,
Amen.
Father God,
Amen.
And for this world. Bless, Father God, our troops. Father, bless them as they are protecting this country. Father, for every man that's been given his life, just a moment of it, Father, protect us. I pray you will bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Father, for the homeless veterans, Father God, out there that need a touch from you, touch them, Father God. Father, for every prayer in that box, I pray you will hear that prayer, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
And in your timing, Father, answer that prayer, Father God. And may you receive glory and your kingdom be increased, Father, for the prayers. So, Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this church. And, Father God, I pray you'll bless every person that needs a touch here today, Father God. Not just physical, emotional, Father God. For their walk with Jesus Christ, Father God. I pray you will touch them, Father. Hear our prayer. For those that are homebound, Father, that you're not here today, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. For those that need a touch of God that's not a member of this church, come over. You don't have to be a member to walk in that door and be touched by God himself. Listen to that little whisper that says, come to Challenge Ministry and be touched by God. Not by us, Father God, but by Jesus Christ and Lord himself. You can receive healing. You can receive a touch. You can receive guidance. You can live a Christ-like life just by showing up and listening. So, Father God, I just thank you in your holy and precious name. I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, before you bring your tithe and your offering up, repeat after me. I'm not all I want to be. Praise God, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Bring your tithe and offering on up.
Indeed, what a wonderful, wonderful day that will be. Are you prepared to meet that day? Are you? If not, may I suggest that in the closing moments of this broadcast, you say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want my sins forgiven. I want my past forgotten. I want to be adopted into your family. I want to be born again. And I have nothing to offer you, Jesus, except a request for forgiveness. A request that you accept me as your child. I'm a sinner, Jesus. But you came to the cross to save people like me. And I want to receive what you did on the cross, Jesus. I'm asking you, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I want to be born again. And then when I die, Jesus, I want to meet you face to face. And then spend throughout the rest of eternity in your presence, loving you, worshiping you, praising you, and thanking you. Now, friend, if you prayed a prayer something like that, you find yourself a Bible-believing church, tell the pastor you've been saved, you want to be baptized, and you want to be discipled. This has been Bob Martin with Challenge. Thanks for joining us today, and until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.